Hey, what's going on, Dutch Nation? Today on the podcast, my goodness, someone who's very near and dear to my heart. He is the current regional manager of Elk Grove, Lodi, and South Sac, California, the one and only Zach Garrett. Continuing our theme of mob madness, this guy was one of the OG mobsters. Talks a lot about that, about getting hired at Dutch in little old Grants Pass, Oregon, when the mobsters were just known as trainers. So he breaks down the whole origin of when they'd made the transition from trainer to mobster. So it's some good insight to what that was like, how the company's grown since then, how we've just really improved on our systems and structures in that space, and what it's like being a regional manager, working with his brother, and of course a whole lot more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Zach Garrett podcast. Zachary Faye Garrett, welcome to the podcast, bro.
Hey, it's good to be here, Marcus.
Back in GP.
Welcome home, man.
Yeah,
welcome
you. Home.
Were you born here?
No, I was born in Portland. Moved to Grants Pass when I was six. Lived here for 20 years.
Growing up in Grants Pass, you know the Dutch Bros brand was kind of everywhere before it was everywhere. When did you first get hired and who hired you?
Well, I was officially hired by Tim Sawyer to hand bag the beans, pressure wash the roasting pipes, clean the warehouse, all that kind of stuff. Did that job for about a year. But before that, I used to come out and just hang out at the warehouse because Brandon's my youth pastor. So like during the summers or whenever I was free, hit me up and be like, hey, dude, you want to come do a bean load? Honestly, that's when I knew I really wanted to be a part of this company. Like, I didn't really care about getting paid. Like, at that time, my payment was being able to spend time with Brant and Jameson and Tim and just hang out and have fun. And I was like, maybe I can get hired on and actually get a paycheck. And like, back then, I was way more introverted and quiet. I would drive around all the stands in Grants Pass like at 5:30 in the morning to go talk to the managers and try and get hired.
Make the rounds.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Make the rounds.
Yeah, we're still not hiring.
Yeah,
you want to buy a coffee?
I'll take a water.
It's real, dude. That's what everyone told you back in the day. It was drive around early in the morning, let the managers know you really want it. And I mean, this is when there was like 8 to 12 employees per stand. And then Brandy
Burline at the time.
Brandy Burline at the time was the manager of the coffee house, and she had a spot open, and she hired me, and that was my first stand manager was Brandy.
Yep. Mine too. She hired me like a couple months after you.
Yep. Right after. Taught this guy how to close at the coffee house.
During Back to the 50s, two people doing like a $900 night. I was terrified. I'm like, I have to do this by myself in a couple days? Like, there's no way I'm going to get fired.
Some fun nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy Back to the 50s or first Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You're just slammed and then work a Sunday night and you do like
$120.
Yeah, maybe. Sunday night football, if you had to close, you still got to watch at least part of it.
We had the Sunday ticket. Broke a lot of barriers talking sports.
Yeah, that was definitely my saving grace with those guys. Because when you first got hired at the coffee house and you were a guy, it was not easy.
Years and years and years of beautiful women working there. And then there's a dude.
Yeah.
Tough spot to be.
I think I liked it that way because it was an either make it or break it time for me. Because there was a time I almost got let go because I was shy and I didn't know how to talk to those guys, or I didn't know how to talk to the regulars. It was like an inner battle. It was like, all right, dude, are you just going to be yourself and have fun and let go and just open up to everyone? So that was really when some of those barriers started coming down in my life, where I was like, I just want to be friends with everyone. Like, I want to assume the person walking in is my friend before I even have a conversation with them. That mindset really got me through that time.
Yeah.
I almost became the assistant manager at the coffee house like after 5 or 6 months, but then they were like, it would step on too many toes. So.
And then they gave it to me.
No, there's someone in between that.
There was. Yeah, that's right. I went to shopping center for a while. Zach was my roommate during this time.
Yeah. First time I moved out was with Mark Berry and, and Kyle.
Yeah. Let's fast forward just a bit because right now it's mob madness on the podcast.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So initially, what is now known as the mob, they were called trainers. It was your bro, Afton Towery, Amanda Singh, and Rob Tesson.
Yeah.
They kind of decided after a while to expand on that. Give some of the history, because it's crazy, because currently we have almost 100 mobsters.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude, it's like 90-something.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You were part of this squad when there was like six.
Yeah, there was only four of us, actually, because Kyle moved to Klamath Falls to become the regional, so wasn't one anymore. Amanda and Rob, they started doing other stuff, so they weren't trainers anymore, so Afton was the only one left. They held interviews and hired for three, and that was just something that I had been working towards for a couple years, actually. I like to tell this part of my history to a lot of our crew because sometimes it can get discouraging that you don't get promoted when you have been doing it for a while or you've been involved and you think you deserve it.
Yeah.
Timing really is everything. And I worked in the stand for 4 years and I think I applied to become an assistant probably 8 or 9 times and I didn't get it. And that was over the span of 4 years. And I was like, what the heck? Like so many times. And I like had to battle not to go to a dark place on it. But
yeah. Well, you know, also too, that time in Grant's past, Dutch Bros was a lot different and you were still like pretty young.
Oh yeah.
And for the most part, a lot of people that were managing were like in their late 20s. Mm-hmm. Some of them were in their 30s. I'm assuming that probably was in the back of your mind too. Like maybe they just think I'm still too young.
Totally.
Because I'm like 20, 21, 22.
Yeah, definitely. I was 22 by the end of it. So I got hired as assistant manager finally after 4 years at Ringette. And then like 2 weeks later, I interviewed for the trainer position and I got it. So it was like just this full circle. It was like finally seeing my hard work pay off after 4 years. And I'm like, dude, this is awesome.
I remember one manager meeting that you were at as the assistant. I was like, hey, my dog.
Finally here,
he's
I did it.
Us, dude. I did he's killing it. I love this guy. And then it was like, dude, I'm going to be one of the new trainers. I was like, oh, I'm not going to see you.
I know.
Dang.
What's your deal, man?
Yeah, crazy kind of just like 2 wins in a row that were awesome. I interviewed, got the job alongside Matt Froslin and Sam Kimsey now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was
Sam Anderson.
Sam Anderson.
So there's still only 4 of us. And I was just showing Mark a picture of the first opening I went out with them on. It was to Sisters, Oregon, right outside of Bend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was our first one in February or March.
Oh, great. You get to drive through a bunch of snow.
Yeah, 2012. We pulled the trailer through the snow. Third time ever towing a trailer. We're just driving to Bend in the
snow.
You can
do this, right? Yeah, I can do this.
Everything kind of started rolling and just hit the road hard, man. Only 2 of us would go to an opening back then, and we'd split the day in half. One of us would lead the first part of the day, the other one the second part of the day.
Was it like an open to 2 to close, kind of break it up into the shifts like that?
Yep. Just started to meet all these people and see what Dutch Bros was like outside of Grants Pass. Huge eye-opener to like what this company really does in so many different places.
Yeah.
And it was just filling my cup like every time I got to go meet a new franchisee or see another shop open and
it's
just
like, wow,
help be a part of this growth. Yeah.
It's the same, but it's different. Yeah. I mean, you know, like you're going to see different levels of volume. Having been somebody that worked basically in Grants Pass forever when I was in the shops, I got to experience like a couple other openings. There's a whole nother Dutch world out there
that
I just don't even see.
Totally. Getting to go to some of the places that were the busiest stands in the company in 2012, I think the highest average per day sales was like 4,500.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Ontario, one of my favorite trips I went on, but it was just so busy when it opened. I think they hired like 12 or 13 people.
Yeah.
And the first Saturday we were open, we did a $4,000 morning with 4 people. No texters, no runners, me and someone else on machine.
One machine, right?
2 people on Windows taking order that were new. And they didn't know how to make drinks.
Oh, no. So
it's a lot of those, like, just like, all right, we just got to go. Let's do this.
Give them a raise.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, so we're going to do something a little different here. Let's get to know Zach Garrett in a rapid fire pace. We're going to take a little break, slam a dub. Thank you, Melody Olivas, for bringing us some caffeine.
Thank you.
You're the best.
Cheers.
There we go. Cheers.
Hey there, Dutch Maniacs. Sometimes you need a little extra to get through the day, and there's nothing wrong with that. And brother, that's why one of March's featured drinks is the 9-1-1. Iced or hot, you get 6 shots of espresso, guaranteed to pump you up. Not to mention, it's delicious. An Irish cream brevet, supercharged with extra caffeine. But be careful, this beast packs a punch. So if you're ready to wake up, take the challenge. All cooler, no filler. 9-1-1!
Okay, slam the dub. What was the first drink you had at Dutch Bros, Zach?
Probably not so hot with peppermint.
Love it. What's your current drink?
Not so hot with peppermint.
Yeah, things haven't changed much. No, I drink a small quad Americano with 5 to 6 ice cubes.
What's your favorite core value?
How do you answer that, bro?
You always resonate a little bit more with one.
Probably speed.
Yeah.
Best person to have on a shift.
Mark Berry.
Yes!
I definitely had some of my funnest shifts with this guy.
I concur, man.
I got to say a couple more, like Jeff West back in the day.
Ringette?
My brother, Kyle, used to slay at the coffee house and some other stands. Matty Fro.
Oh, yeah, Frozen.
Shad. Remember Shad?
I do, dude. He was awesome.
Yeah.
Christensen?
Shad Christensen. He was one of my favorite people to work with. He was like just a super rad, nice guy.
Slowest shift you ever worked?
$43 in I covered a night shift in Brookings. Mm-hmm. I was at the Harbor stand while they did like a party.
Yeah.
And yeah, $43, made $8 in tips.
Wow.
Busiest shift you ever worked?
$5,680 or something like that. The second Sunday that Elk Grove was open, there was a noon shift.
Boom.
6 hours, almost $5,700.
Your all-time favorite Dutchware shirt?
Oh, the Mafia, the original Mafia shirt.
Mm, classic.
Best Kocha moment?
I've been to all of them, so that's a tough question. Definitely working in the Transformer with Matt and all the other mobsters.
I was in there too.
Yeah, Mark was in there getting to serve coffee to all of these broistas from all over and hype them up. That was probably one of the best parts of it. Second best Kocha moment was running on the stage after Dylan Francis left. And I ran up to like where he was DJing and grabbed the mic and I'm like, hey guys, could you all pick up some trash off off the grass so we don't have to stay late and pick it all up? And everyone helped out. It was awesome.
Absolutely, man. Teamwork makes the dream work. What's your go-to pre-shift music to get you hyped?
Probably some Big Wild. Just saw him the other day. It was awesome. Or probably Clarity. That was probably my biggest.
Oh,
Clarity,
man.
By Zed. That was probably like my biggest song while I was on the road.
Last one. If you weren't working for Dutch, what would you be doing?
That's tough because I've been doing it for so long. I'd like to think I would become like a professional golfer.
Nice.
I mean, this is theoretical. So yeah, I'd probably be playing on the PGA right now.
If you did it every day, man. All right, well, we just slammed a dub with Zach Garrett. So, okay, dude, so you gave us some pretty good insight, just the initial run when it was trainers. When did we start calling it the Mob? And then when did you guys start to discover, like, hey, we can't have another Ontario. Like, we need more people. We need more help. We need to really build this thing.
We were on the road for probably maybe 6 or 7 months with just the four of us doing openings. And it was just progressively getting busier and busier at each one. We were like, dude, we need more of us. Too many runners outside handing out stickers and like painting on cars to like keep track of everyone, plus what's going on inside. So we hired four, we call them junior trainers.
The junior mafia.
Yeah.
Remember Biggie Smalls?
Junior mafia. And that's when we hired Teal, Chris Trillia, Chris Hodge, and Eric Cheeseman. Show them the ropes and help out. I feel like the whole time I was on the road, we just wanted to make things better. We just wanted to kind of restructure it to make this a smoother operation every single time we go out. And it's not, oh crap, we're getting shut down by the city again. Like our music's not working. Like all these like things, we were like, let's get as much structure to it as possible because it's not going to get easier. It's not going to get slower.
Yeah, like, the hype is real at this point. Dutch is growing. You know?
Yeah. So hired them. After that, we added 3 or 4 more. It was Keith, Ryan Vargas, Earl, and Lance.
Rister, we're sorry.
I love you, Lance.
He was
sorry.
Hanging out with us last night, too. It's all great.
So Lance, we love you. He's going to be sitting here listening like, come on.
It was
come
me.
You
it was
me last night.
We just talked about this.
Yeah, so we hired them on, and then we all became just trainers. It wasn't like the junior trainers anymore. It was all the same job. And that's when we came up with the term mob.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Afton came up with it, and I remember the meeting. Because we were all trying to come up with a name of what we wanted to call ourselves, because we weren't really just trainers. Like we we didn't just train people. Mm-hmm. So pretty sure she said it standard for Masters of Broistaing.
Broistaing.
That was the original.
Sounds very technical.
Uh-huh.
But we've always been like the Dutch Mafia. So I think most people didn't even realize it was like an acronym.
It makes way more sense if you don't try and put any other words to
it. Yeah, sure. The mob. I mean, we're
they
Dutch
call
mafia.
Us the mob. Yeah, yeah,
the Masters Barising.
We just kept growing, you know, kept having more openings each year, it felt like. So we just kept adding people and just trying to get better, like trying to serve the franchisees better when we showed up, knowing exactly what our mission was each time we got there. Mm-hmm. And when we were called upon by the franchisee or like the new stand manager, like we had the answers for them on the road. We really wanted to be a good resource and know what it was like to operate a Dutch Rose to the highest ability.
While you're building this squad, did you personally like know a lot of these cats ahead of time, or was it a little bit more franchisee recommendation, or kind of both?
It was people we had met on the road or franchisees giving recommendations on who they think would be great at it. We just wanted to find like the best people that knew what the culture was, knew how to perform well in the stand, and definitely had that leadership capability too. Because when you show up, you're almost like a celebrity inside of Dutch Bros.
Oh yeah. You guys were rock stars.
Yeah.
I went on a couple openings like with you guys and I was like, geez, man, like everybody knows Zach.
It was wild to like show up and see these people excited that you're there. We really wanted to do our best while we were there to hear everyone out, have as many cool conversations as we could, really get to know the crew. It used to be you'd show up, you do the grand opening, and then you take off the next day. That's the problem that we started to run into was it's way busier than we thought it was going to be. What do we do now? We have to stay and help. We need it to be better in the future and have franchisees expect it to be busier. Like, we got to hire this amount of people per shop when we're opening. So we changed that structure to we're going to show up this many days before, make sure everyone is ready to work in the stand. They know their prices, they know their recipes, do the grand opening, and then stay for a week or two after just to be that support, especially for first-time franchisees. We'd work 12-hour shifts, just doubles for like a week, whatever we had to do to keep the stand going and performing the way it should be.
Bonkers.
Do you know or have an idea of the exact number of stands that you opened?
I want to say the first stand I helped open was 183, somewhere around there. And then by the time I left and moved to Elk Grove, I think we were at 291.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And obviously, so, you're not on every
I wasn't on all of them,
ones, but a big chunk of it.
Yeah, I'd say probably about half, maybe.
Wow.
Maybe around 50.
That's nuts.
I don't know. Could be more. But
dude, yeah, those years were just kind of a blur.
Yeah, they definitely were. I remember my craziest trip. We left on Thanksgiving Day from Grants Pass and drove to Hermiston.
Yeah.
Did that opening, went and did the Ontario opening, stayed there for a couple extra weeks, flew from Boise to Portland, did Kevin Murphy's...
The NCAP?
The NCAP opening, and then drove from Portland straight to Arizona to go do Caleb Berkey's first stand in Peoria.
Wow.
And when we showed up, he was connected to a generator because, and we opened the stand connected to a generator because we weren't on the main power lines yet.
And then you had like 10,000 customers.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
And then I flew home on Christmas Eve from Arizona. So it was like,
that's a tour. A lot of work. That
was,
right there.
Yeah, that was a crazy month.
Well, at least you got Christmas.
Yeah. Made it home
probably
for
just
Christmas.
Slept all night.
I mean, that's what it was, and that's what yeah. I liked on the road onto the next stand to be like, all right, what's this one going to be like? Because yeah. like every single one, I got to learn something new, and I got to create a different relationship with that franchisee and see the way that they thought about business, the way that they ran their stands, because it's always going to be a little bit different. So each yeah. time I got to go to a new place, I just got to learn more.
Yeah,
and that's really helped create who I want to be as a regional manager right now.
No doubt. That's more or less going to college.
Yeah.
For those years. Cause like you're running shops as a regional manager now, you know, like essentially kind of like an operator. What better experience than to just pick everybody's brain? It's like priceless, all that info, dude. It's crazy.
Definitely.
Now, during this time, mobbing like a madman, and you've built the team up, and then Kyle stopped being regional of Slay Falls, came up here to GP. Was that when he developed the Freedom Fighters?
Yeah, we had done a couple different trips to go help assist franchisees mm-hmm. that were going through some stuff and needed just some extra bodies and extra help to hire a bunch of people and get them back to being steady. So after we like did a couple of these, we were like, dude, we need to visit the franchisees and really see how everything's going with them.
Yeah, what's working, what's not working.
Yeah, how's it going? Like, mm-hmm. do you want to train a different way? Do you want our help in these areas that you might be struggling in? Or we'd help identify areas that they were struggling that they didn't know about. That was kind of the mindset behind the Freedom Fighters. And Kyle spearheaded that new kind of branch training process, hiring process. Did they keep maintenance up? Did they need to paint the lines in their driveway? Like all yeah. these things, we were like, we should go and like evaluate this at each franchisee's location.
This is when you guys brought Ian Brooks into, right?
For right.
This? Yeah.
Yeah. So me, Kyle, and Matt were the first ones to do the freedom fighting missions. And then we hired Ian and Christian.
Oh, wait, that's right. Gervais.
Yeah. Yeah. To do the freedom fighting with us. Started to focus on that more than doing the grand openings.
Yeah.
Like one or two trips a month going to visit franchisees. I'd work a little bit in the stand, get a feel for how everything was going, take the manager to lunch, kind of pick their brain on what they needed help with, meet with the franchisee and share what I experienced in their location.
Basically, it was like the inception of like a cross between what is now like our quality assurance team and kind of like our business coaches.
Yeah, it was a couple of pieces from each one of those. Mm-hmm. Obviously, right now, it's way more in depth and way better structured.
Yeah, yeah.
But it totally was in
But it had like, to start
the beginning.
Somewhere, yeah.
yeah.
Then how did the D-Force come about? Yeah, because that yeah. was the next step after the Freedom Fighters.
Where did we come up with these names? It stood for District Force. Right. So we had these different districts set up of franchisees in the different areas. And there's going to be one of us that would move to that area and do like a continuous loop of freedom fighting
yeah.
and just have a bigger presence of HQ for the franchisees and be that middleman to be in constant communication.
So that was a little bit more like what would pave the way for a business coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. You pioneered it, bro.
Had a lot of help.
Yeah. well, yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was cool that you were like part of that initial yeah. run when we really started to see the growth. And
totally.
Like, holy crap.
Each thing that we started to develop or each new idea definitely just came from a place of we need something. We need to create something more to keep up with our growth right now.
Yeah.
And being on the road, you got to see like from the franchisee's perspective. And it was like, what do they need from HQ? What do they want? We're going to make it what the franchisee wants from us. I never actually moved to an area to do the D-Force. I was going to move to Arizona.
I remember that, yeah.
And I went for a month to Arizona and worked. I think they had 14 locations at the time. So yeah. I worked at each stand, met with each manager and assistant. And then with each regional manager, they had four of them at the time.
And that was including Berkey and Jim Thompson?
No, I just did Jim Thompson's
okay,
stance
gotcha.
At this one. That might be one of my favorite trips I've ever taken.
It's more connection.
Yeah, yeah. I got to spend as much time at each stand as I wanted to. We would take all that crew out to dinner.
Yeah.
And that's where I started doing little speeches just about our culture, a little bit about my history. And then we would just start doing share time. And we would bring up people and be like, how's Dutch Bros changed your life since you started working here? And yeah. it opened my eyes just to see the bigger impact that it was having on someone that might have just been working for like 2 months. Anywhere from, I was close to committing suicide, I came through the stand, this employee told me that they loved me or that I was beautiful or whatever it was that was said, and I decided not to follow through. And then I came back and ended up getting a job here, and now I'm working for Dutch Bros. It was like nuts. These crazy stories and all those things that we talk about that like you could change someone's life with one experience at the window. Mm-hmm. I just got to hear these stories of it happening and it was real. Yeah. Probably the scariest moment, having to sit down at dinner with Jim Thompson, his wife, and Josh Hayes and go over like my huge report from working at every single one of his stands. I was so nervous. Like,
oh, I would be shaking him up.
But Jim's an awesome guy and he took everything I said with a smile. I mean, none of it was really bad, but it was like, you should do some work here, do some work here.
Yeah.
And it was the coolest thing for him to like be so accepting of me. I was like, I'm just some kid in my 20s giving you advice on what to do with your business. And it was rad to have his support in that. Shout out to you, Jim. Thanks, man.
The man, 20 stands deep in counting, dude. Legend. Was that Arizona trip like your last thing before then going to Elk Grove and then regionaling?
We went through some like, you're going to move. Actually, you're not going to move anymore. Everything was just up in the air of what the future held.
Right.
Because they weren't sure if they wanted to keep doing the D4s. They didn't know if they wanted to keep doing the freedom fighting the way it was.
Yeah.
But still like doing the trips, doing the openings, just not as many. And then Kyle Stand opened February 19th, 2015. So it just hit 4 years.
Ooh.
I worked doubles every single day for a month straight, except for one day that I got to take off.
Well, that stand went out of the gates swinging, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
I was staring at the iPad for so long, reading drink orders back when we would text them in from iPods in line. When I would lay down at night to try and fall asleep, I would just see orders. Like, I'd close my eyes and it was just an iPad with orders.
Never-ending thread.
Oh, yeah.
Order, 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 order.
And then I'd be like, I got to work on the window today. I can't look at another iPad for a while. While I was in it, it was just like, what we're doing right now, I've never done yet. No stand has really kept this volume up out of the gate for this long.
Yeah, it was cool. Kyle, he really like went for it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to staff big. I'm going to put extra machines in my shop. I'm going to prep like it's going to be super busy. If you build it, they will come.
He did not want to have the opening hype and then for us to be unsuccessful at living up to that hype and then tailing off. I think he had 32 people hired and trained. We opened and we needed 20 more people right away. So instead of just like us working our shifts, he got on the phone to all the franchisees in the area and we're just like, hey, I need people to come work shifts. So there was 10 to 20 people that would just come and help us out and just work those shifts. And it just wasn't getting slower. He was like, I'm just going to see what we can do. And I'm going to give us every single tool and opportunity to slay this.
Yeah.
Like, let's just throw it all in there. We just kept going. It was just nonstop. Like,
yeah, didn't like Baby Trenton and Jackson Luckin come down there for like a couple of weeks just to help?
Yeah, they did.
It was crazy.
Ian was there for a while. Teal was there for a while.
Everybody just wanted to roll their sleeves up and be like, dude, let's make this thing go. I worked two shifts.
Yeah, you did, bro. Slayed it. Yeah, we had that shift. Brant came down and
that was fun.
That experience really like changed my mindset of like, what are we capable of?
Right.
We're in unknown territory right now. What are we going to do about it? Yeah. How are we going to sustain it? How are we going to keep it going? So we hired 20 people, didn't have that much time to train them. So we're like, all right, you're going to take orders and we need you outside to do traffic. hopefully we'll start to be able to train you on drinks soon.
How many shops are you overseeing now?
Four.
Yeah, you guys are up to four.
Yeah.
You got Lodi, you got the one off Sheldon, you got the original Elk Grove, and then Florin Road?
Yeah, Florin Road in South Sacramento.
And then what's coming up? Galt?
Galt, yeah. Just a smaller town in between Elk Grove and Lodi. It's wild, man. There's a ton of opportunity for growth down there. And it's really cool to be working for Kyle, who wants to open more locations. And he'll tell you this, his goal to open more locations is to give people more opportunities in leadership, like what we wanted when we were that age, you know?
Sure, yeah.
It was like, we want the chance to move up and to show ourselves as good leaders because we thought we were. Mm-hmm. And for him to preach that message to our crew of, we're going to try and open as many stands as we can,
yeah,
because it's going to give so many more people opportunity to, yeah, experience this Dutch Bros life.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And I know that's syncing up pretty good with Trav's vision right now. And
yeah.
It's exciting.
So with being Mob Madness, what are some of the most valuable lessons that you learned in your time with D-Force and freedom fighting and being in the mob?
My main goal at each stop along the way was, I'm going to make sure I take the time to have a solid conversation with the owner here or the regional manager here. Like you said, it was my education. Yeah. It was getting all these nuggets from these successful people. And the cool thing about franchisees is they love to share. They want people to be successful and they want people to experience what they have. They're going to want to help you. They're going to tell you the ins and outs of it, but you have to ask those questions first and you have to take that opportunity to do it.
Totally. Being a regional for a little while now, to other regional managers out there, what do you think is like the main thing in your role that you should focus on?
Get in the stand as much as you can. Yeah, I went through a couple months where I'd be at each stand once a week, but only for 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's just not enough. Not just to the crew, but it's not enough connection to the customers.
Yeah.
Because customers change. Customers aren't the same that they were when I first started.
Yeah.
So I switched it. I work a full shift 1 day a week at each stand. So around 5 hours, 4 times a week.
Nice.
That's been really cool to get back in there and really get to know a lot of the employees and just make coffee with them and hang out.
Yeah. Like, don't forget the fundamentals.
Totally. Something cool that we started doing, managers and assistants work a shift together once a month. Mm-hmm. We just did it this last Saturday.
We saw that.
Yeah, we had all our managers, assistants, Kyle and Haley came in and worked, and I worked, and it was just fun. Hang out together and work a shift together and spend that time of like, I'm not here to be a manager. I'm not here to have to watch over people.
Right. Here to work.
Yeah. We're just here laughing and having fun. And we're going to start doing that with our shift leads once a month, a shift lead shift at each stand with the manager and with me and with Kyle and Haley. I think just anything more inside the stand together is going to be the most beneficial because it's all live and you get that teamwork bonding where you're actually making drinks together again.
Ultimately, I'm sure you'll just learn more.
Totally.
It might be a better experience for the customer and for the team and stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Zach.
You kind of mentioned it that you work with Kyle. What is it like working directly with your brother?
It's great.
You guys have a cool brother relationship.
Yeah.
You've just always been like best friends.
Yeah.
Brothers and best friends get in disagreements and fight and stuff, but I like never see you guys fight. I've known you for over 10 years.
We definitely have spent like a lot of time together after we became adults.
Sure,
like after we grew up, we worked together. We took trips together. Mm-hmm. It's always been a big point for us to like have that connection. I was like trying to find like if there is what the difficulties would be. Mm-hmm. And I think the only one that we talked about recently is it's hard to shut off work mode and just go on to be like, oh, just he's my friend and
my brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's something that's cool about us too, is like, if there's something like not working, we're going to talk about it and we're going to hash it out right away. We don't let things fester. We don't let them sit. So we take trips now where we're going to go golf as bros and friends and not as you're my boss, you're my employee. It's not like that ever. Yeah, like with us, we feel like we're doing this thing together.
That's what it feels like from an outside observer too. Sick. Well, dude, it's always a pleasure. I could talk to you for 5 days straight, as you know.
Hell yeah, bro.
But we probably should wrap it up, let you get back to your crew. Shane, why don't you do our little signature sign off?
Yeah, we like to sign off always like this. I said that so weird. If you could give one piece of advice to our barista audience or just our audience in general, what would it be?
I think it's be patient. Know that if you're working hard and you're giving it your all, you're asking good questions from yourself and to your leadership, just be patient. Like, things are going to work out how they should. Don't make up stories in your own head of why things are the way they are. If you didn't get a promotion, just know that there's more to the story. Focus on asking yourself, if I want to be here, what do I need to do to get there? And not leave it up to someone else. Make it your own and work hard towards it and be patient.
Love it. you look at so many people, like a regional manager or somebody that just became regional operator, most of them, they've got a pretty long tenure with the company.
Yeah.
You don't hear of a lot of people, it's like, yeah, I'm a regional operator. I've been working here for 2 years, you totally. Know? It takes some time. It'll refine you, make you a better person. Zach, you're handsome.
Mm.
I feel like I should say that because you are a Ooh. Men's medium, bro. Looking yeah. so good. And we've got a brand new Red Couch podcast shirt for you as a gift.
Oh, thank you, bro.
And we'd be honored if you wore it and signed our guest book.
Ooh, okay.
Thanks for taking time out of the day, bro.
Yeah.
We got you on here.
Thank you, guys.
Love
it's
you,
been
dude.
Great. Love yeah. you.
Bye, Dutch Nation.
Peace.
All righty, folks. Well, hey, there it is. Thanks again, Mr. Zach Garrett. Keep crushing it down there. You guys are doing amazing things. Super busy stands. And I love the fact that you just want to open more. Keep giving people those opportunities to shine and grow. What this company is all about. And remember out there, if things maybe aren't happening as fast as you like, well, stay patient and ask yourself those quality questions. And Zach's just one of many people that worked hard and has just continued to grow and elevate throughout the company. And I'm super proud of him. He's kind of like the little brother I never had and getting kind of emotional. So tune in next week as we wrap Mob Madness with another really special guest. And you know what? I'm not even going to say who it is. We'll let the hype build. Here's a little hint, though. They know something about the mob, having worked in it in some capacity. And also, this person is somebody that we have tried to get on the podcast multiple times. Finally did it. So, until next time, take it easy, Dutch Nation.